Welcome to Blah Blah Sports Wrestling Edition. It's been a while since you've heard this voice. Benny with you, Sean, Jobo, Steve, we're running the gamut here. It's been a while since we've been talking wrestling, guys. But first, how you guys doing? Sean, how's it been?
Okay, I guess. I don't know. I'm just getting better, so that's a good thing.
You've been sick for a little while.
Yeah, I've been sick of this product.
Yeah.
Oh. In your face, Kevin Dunn. All right, Steve, how you been, man?
Been all right. Been all right.
And Jobo.
I've been good. I just want to say a quick congratulations to Tyler Bate on becoming the longest reigning WWE United Kingdom champion. Really proud of him. Longest reigning.
Long.
It's amazing.
It's been, what, 2-3 weeks since that?
Yeah, it's a long time.
That's a hell of a record.
Like dog weeks.
Dog years. It's been like almost half a dog year.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know how dog years work, but quick hit on the UK tournament. If you haven't checked it out on WWE Network, I suggest you do so. But anyway, it's been so long that we've talked about since we talked about wrestling. My phone died and I had to get a new one. I'm now the proud owner of a Google Pixel phone. Pretty cool. So that's been what's going on in Benny's life. But anyway, aside from that, we got to talk about wrestling because a lot is going on. It's one of the big four weekends, Royal Rumble, and we have NXT TakeOver San Antonio. We're going to quick hit on this really quick. Five matches on the card. We have Roderick Strong versus Andrade Cien Almas, Eric Young, Ty Dillinger, Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Championship, the tag titles, the NXT Championship all on the line. Sean, what are you looking forward from NXT TakeOver?
Really? I mean, the Fatal 4-Way could be good, but the only match that I really care about in that lineup is the main event, the NXT title match, just because you have Nakamura and Bobby Roode. Even though the match might be just meh, the entrances should be amazing. Eric Young and Ty Dillinger shouldn't be too bad either, but to me, this is like not only one of the weakest NXT TakeOver cards, but also one of the least hyped up TakeOver cards, too.
Steve, what are you looking forward to in NXT TakeOver?
Shinsuke Nakamura's entrance and Bobby Roode's entrance. And that's honestly, like, I'm not that hyped for this. This is just something to kind of occupy my time until the Rumble.
Yeah, this does seem like a little bit of like a quick taste of wrestling before we get to the Rumble. Jobo, have you been caught up on NXT? Or is there anything you want to talk about?
I haven't been watching it. I've been following with what's been going on. I'm interested just in a general sense. I don't think I'm going to be able to watch it live, and I'm not really in a rush to go watch it afterwards. But yeah, I think just the main event, you know, the NXT championship, you know, that match should be, you know, it should be pretty good. That's the thing I'm looking forward to. Everything else, it's just kind of like what you guys said, one of the weaker cards of this TakeOvers.
Yeah, we know we're going to get good wrestling. We know DIY is going to wrestle circles around the Authors of Pain, but I don't really know how that match is going to go, so that kind of intrigues me. Outside of that, I mean, Roderick Strong, Andrade Almas, Eric Young, Ty Dillinger. I'm interested, but I'm more interested in seeing what Ty Dillinger does on Sunday. Not going to get the spoilers. Asuka, Nikki Cross, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, that's probably the match I'm most interested in terms of wrestling. And then, of course, we have the entrance battle between Shinsuke and Bobby Roode. So there's a lot of good wrestling. That's NXT TakeOver.
What do you mean by entrance battle?
I mean, it's going to be you can't tell me it's going to be an entrance battle. I mean, we have two of the biggest entrances.
Oh, thought you meant like entry into a Rumble. And I was just like,
No. That would be an interesting, because they've done it before with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at the WrestleMania, where they have a match and whoever wins go. That would be an interesting thing if they would have done it on NXT TakeOver.
They have done that in the past, back in 2013, I believe it was. Yeah. They had a small tournament during their Rumble weekend event thing. And that was when Bo Dallas first came up to the main roster, and he was in the Rumble.
But like something like that would have given Samoa Joe something to do.
It's kind of counterproductive though, because like if they're not being called up and they're just showing up for the one Rumble, why even bother?
True. And plus, it ruins a possible surprise. I mean, again, we'll get to.
Can you tell me why the Hideo one was any better?
I mean, it really wasn't. I mean, I guess it was just to get an NXT name in there.
Why?
I more pointed it out because they've done it before. I'm not going to defend it as a good decision, but I can see your argument for why I wouldn't do it. I think, you know, there could be arguments made as to why they should have done it. Again, it would have given Samoa Joe something to do. It could have worked into their match, into the card, gotten the six, but we know they're going to give time for a lot of these matches, especially the women's match is going to get time. I don't know. But long and short is that's NXT. It's a good card. We can dissect it in the review show, which will happen next week. But for now, that's NXT. Let's get to what everyone wants to talk about is a Royal Rumble. 8 matches on this card right now. We have 3 on the pre-show.
2.
I believe. 2. Okay. I don't know if they've moved the tag titles match anywhere yet, but we have 2 women's matches on the pre-show.
There's only one tag title match. It's on the pre-show already.
The Raw Tag Team Championship?
Yeah, match? The SmackDown ones aren't being defended.
No. The SmackDown ones not defended.
They got 2 referees.
Damn right they do.
2 referees are assigned to this match. I wonder if we're going to get a screwball finish. We have Cesaro and Sheamus versus Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. We'll start with Steve. Is there anything you want to talk about with this match or whatever?
What are we calling Sheamus and Cesaro? Are they Cesaro or are they Sheamus?
How about that?
Yeah. Because they were trying to sell the whole Cesaro thing, and everybody was just like, no.
Yeah, but then on commentary, Cesaro was just like, I don't like either of those. Why can't we just be Cesaro and Sheamus?
I was fine with that. I don't know what to expect from this match. I mean, the club has been coming off on every exchange, like, on top, and they seem to have the momentum going into this. So if they won, I mean, kind of hurt the whole point of... I mean, like, I wasn't a fan of how, as soon as New Day broke the record, they lost the titles. I could have seen it coming, but I didn't like it. The club has, without a doubt, been floundering in WWE. That's for sure. They've been not used at all to their potential, and they've been kind of a joke. It would be nice to see them get some legitimacy by getting the titles. But at the same time, I'm actually really liking Sheamus and Cesaro, especially now that they've kind of synced up on their entrance now. I think it looks cool. And they're not like trying to like battle over each other for the attention. But yeah, either way this match goes, I'll be fine. I don't really care about it too much.
Sean, the tag title.
I don't have a ton of interest in this match. I think the buildup has been very weird because you had them defend the titles already and then they had a dusty finish, but against the heel. The heels thought that they had won and then they didn't. That's the complete opposite of what you want to do in a dusty finish. It's the babyface that should be winning or thinking that they won. And really, Anderson and Gallows don't feel like heels in this feud, which is really weird. I don't think that they're going to take the title belts off of Cesaro and Sheamus this quickly, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, because even though they do have the entrance now that does sync together, it's not like they're doing much with them as a tag team, so I wouldn't be surprised if they shift focus onto Anderson and Gallows just because why not? Either way, I'm fine with either team having the titles.
I think I would have preferred a little more of a story to when the club got their tag title championships, kind of like what they did with I wouldn't say what they did with the Wyatts, but give them a story. You know, give them like an overcoming the odds or finally getting over the hump. For the club? Well,
they're heels.
I understand that, but when they came in, they had so much momentum, and it was pounded into the ground by, what was it, 3 losses to the New Day in a row? Like, all right. And those bad promos, their momentum was dogged into the ground. They haven't really recovered it just yet. They've had a winning streak or something. But I want to see them do more. I want to see them, you know, beat some other tag teams before they, you know, some more reputable tag teams before they get the title.
They can kill people, but don't make it a redemption story, not for a heel.
Or, you know, just build them up. build them up properly. You know, give this a little more of a, you know, they're focused on being the baddest guys in the room type thing. I don't know. They could have given a little more story. But Jobo, interested in the tag title match?
I kind of don't really care. I'm not too invested in Sheamus and Cesaro, to be honest. I like Cesaro a lot. Sheamus is okay. But I'm just not into them as a tag team. And part of the problem with the club is, for me at least, I'm not all too familiar with their indie stuff. Like I didn't watch New Japan when they were in it. I'm not really, you know, I don't really know. So, you know, all I'm really getting out of them is what WWE is letting me see, which isn't much. So I'm cool with it being on the pre-show. It doesn't matter to me who gets it, as long as whoever gets it can hold my interest. But yeah, that's just me.
I think right now the tag team that probably should win is Cesaro and Sheamus, just to keep that thing going. I really want to see Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson get the proper build up before they get their title run. Anyway, go to the next match really quick. Sasha Banks, Nia Jax. Sean, is Nia going to make it 6-for-6 on botched finishers?
Six? I think she's already 6-for-6. I don't know.
7-for-7, 8-for-whatever, infinity for hell. I don't care.
Yeah, she's going to try it in the match. The stupid bonsai drop to her legs, and she's going to miss, because that's what's going to be the finish. And then Sasha's going to make her either tap or roll her up or something, and it's not going to be good. I fear for this match. Good luck having me pay attention during this match.
Steve, how the mighty have fallen. Sasha is in a program with Nia that it has, I'm not going to say it's fallen flat on its face, but it hasn't been doing wonders for Sasha as a character.
I mean, this is hard for me because I'm a big fan of Sasha, and to see her go to this is just very disheartening. But I mean, she is hurt, and she kind of has not a history, but she does have a good track record of staying healthy. So they don't want to keep her in too high in the picture, because she has a history of getting hurt a lot. I'm hoping that she comes out of this and that, like, I don't know, she gets her health stuff together and her body stops failing her. But I mean, this match is just, I'm actually more concerned for her health now more than ever, because Nia is just blatantly unsafe to work with, and she uses that size way too much and hurts people. I just hope everything goes fine and they just get this over with, and I'm sure we'll see a win for Sasha.
Yeah, if she hated being dropped on her head by Charlotte, just wait for what Nia does to her.
Oh, good Lord.
Hopefully we won't see that. Hopefully, Jobo, we won't see an ambulance in this match. Nia, again, not exactly the best worker in the world. It's certainly not even close to being a passable worker right now, but your opinion on this match, and we'll move on fairly quickly.
It's whatever. I do feel bad for Sasha, because you know, you always see her like every so often tweeting like things, how she implies that she wishes she was on SmackDown. She did a tweet not too long ago saying I miss NXT. And I remember listening to her an interview with her, and she was talking about how she kept dropping hints how Vince doesn't really see her as a valuable person or a valuable worker. And that shows in what they're giving her. And it's a shame, because, you know, NXT, she was putting on great matches. You know, I went back and I watched, like, you know, her match with Bayley. That was incredible. All that stuff that she did there that I saw, like, I really liked. And, you know, here she is, you know, being, you know, playing hot potato with the tag titles. Really, it was just to build up Charlotte's momentum, not necessarily hers. And now she's here wrestling on the pre-show.
I think that's the problem, is the fact that she's on a show with another person that they're heavily pushing. And it's like there's not enough spots. There's only going to be one spot, you know, for the champion.
I would argue she's on a show where they're trying to push like Charlotte, Bayley. Then they just kind of lose Sasha in the shuffle while they're also trying to keep Nia strong.
She's kind of fourth in place right now, you know, behind Nia and Bayley.
And Lord knows what's going to happen when Emelina comes and Summer Rae is healthy.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
And if they ever use Alicia Fox as something other than a jobber, like right now, again, it's no secret. We've said it before. SmackDown has a much better established women's division than Raw does. And that's not an argument that anyone can make for Raw. I mean, Raw has two or three superstars, but in terms of the pecking order, SmackDown's more organized than that.
Well, look at their match. You know, it's a six women tag match where every one of them seems legitimate. Maybe not Naomi, but most of them.
Well, all of them also have a story we're invested in, not something, and not even like all six in this match. Fairly solid workers, you know, like they're very good. Natty's spectacular. Naomi can go. Nikki's greatly improved in the ring. Becky's solid. Alexa's great. Mickey's there. You know, like you got some really good performers, and then you're going to go to another. You're coming from a match where it's going to be a fantastic performer in Sasha versus someone that, you know, the proverbial broomstick is Nia Jax.
I didn't realize that Nia Jax was correct me if I'm wrong in this fact. She wasn't in NXT even for a whole year when she got called up.
No.
Well, you know, Jobo, she's also not like most girls.
True.
Anyway, we were teasing the six women's tag match, and that's what we're going to really quick. I am somewhat intrigued by this match. Again, I don't normally like the whole we're just going to throw six storylines in this one match. But, you know, this one, you know, it's got some buildup to it. There's a somewhat established camaraderie between a couple of the people involved. But we'll go to Steve on this one. Steve, the SmackDown 6 women tag match. If you're a big Paul fan, you can see what I did there.
It's definitely looking better than Sasha versus Nia, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
But I mean, it looks good. I mean, it's just another time killer.
And Sean, what do you think of more fodder?
I mean, you're kind of right, but at the same time, like, I'm interested in Mickey. You know, her performance at TakeOver in Toronto, I thought was great. So I'm interested to see her in a ring with, you know, other women that can work. For the first time in a while, and that's really the only thing that's gaining my interest from this match. Unless Natty, when she's working, she just keeps calling everyone a bitch. That's the only other thing that I would be interested in.
Or keep shouting, "You like that, huh? You like that?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good God."
I wrestled in a dungeon, Jobo.
Who did she face at Extreme Rules? Was it Becky?
No, Charlotte.
Charlotte, right. I just, when Charlotte's trying to make her tap out, she's like, "Tap out, Daddy." He's like, "No."
She's like turning into an orc.
Kill the halfling. Find the halfling. Find the halfling.
But... oh my god, I almost choked. but no, I'm interested again. Like I think I have to agree with, you know, what you were saying with the women's division on SmackDown. I think, you know, they have, you know, they're actually all doing something. You know, they're all kind of in something. I know Naomi just came back from a little injury, but they're all doing something now. Even Mickie James, who's only, you know, been here for, you know, there for a week. You know, outside of the, you know, the other La Luchadora appearances, but I'm interested in it. I mean, I'm not trying to be like a SmackDown fanboy here, because when Raw has some good stuff, it is really good. But like, I feel like SmackDown has just had better consistency with their storytelling, and I'm just naturally more invested in what they're telling on SmackDown. So like, if I'm like, you know, trying to like, not really into a Raw thing, but more into a SmackDown thing. I'm not trying to be, you know, anti-Raw or anything. It's just, you know, I'm more invested in the stuff on SmackDown. So, like, you know, yeah, it's a six women, you know, tag match. Usually the six people tag matches are fillers. But you know what? I like them. I think they're going to do a good job.
Yeah, I think this is a pre-show match. I called it fodder earlier. I'm obviously joking, but this is a pre-show match that I think is done right on a big four pay-per-view. This is what you put here. Okay, so that's the pre-show. Cesaro and Sheamus defend their tag titles against the club. Sasha and Nia.
The women's tag is on the main show.
It's going to be on the main card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be moved to the pre-show. It's actually...
No, it hasn't been moved to the pre-show.
Oh, well, my apologies. The women's six-man match is going to be on the main card, and that's where we'll transition. So, after that, I think we'll go. We'll talk about the cruiser. Let's get the cruiserweight championship.
Oh, let's get that. Let's get to that. Okay.
Okay. We're gonna cut right to the chase here. Neville has been very good in 205 Live. Rich Swann has been okay, but.
Oh. Oh, just his, okay.
His promos have slipped a bit. What was the last one he did? You're not a king. I think you're a jester. Like, that's kind of corny. But Sean, I can see you're itching to get on this, so that's why I'm going to go to you.
Okay. Well, I feel like this feud has had very little build. This has literally been on Neville's shoulders the entire feud, and lot of that is because ever since he won the title, they still do not know what to do with Rich Swann. And B, he's had terrible, terrible writing. And you cannot tell me that you have a problem with TJ Perkins promos when you can sit back and look at Rich Swann and what he's doing with the same material and tell me that that's any better.
Sean, I don't always like to say you're right, but guess what, Sean? You're right. It's not TJ Perkins, and I've said it before. I think my TJ Perkins thing was more of a poke at the writers than it was TJ himself. But nah, Sean, you're 100% right. The writing for 205 Live Babyface Champions,
I mean,
has been garbage. Really, the writing overall for Champions, aside from Neville, who I fully expect to win this belt, by the way, has been garbage.
205 Live in the entire Cruiserweight division has been a struggle. Not just from a standpoint of getting it credible, but from a standpoint of watching the show too, because some of the characters on there, it's just like, geez, I can't get over some of the horrible, horrible writing for these guys.
Oh yeah.
And to me, he won the title back in, November, December, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He still is not over and not a good character.
It's pulling teeth when you just watch him cut a promo. It's like, oh my God.
It's not like Neville's being given better material. He's not. And that's part of the problem is that they write baby faces like this. They don't know how to write good baby faces. And I think that's a big issue with WWE writing is that they just don't know how a good, solid over baby face should talk. It's always the same horrible jokes. It's terrible. And Rich Swann is one of those byproducts, and that's why no one cares.
I would say Rich Swann did have a really good promo. I can't remember when it was, but I do remember when it was one of those when he used the line. Obviously, you can't handle this, but
theme song.
Yes. But the way he was talking, and I forget if it was on 205 Live or if it was on a Raw, but when he cut that promo, I felt like I was starting to get behind Rich Swann. I think it was when he was going up against Kendrick.
Whatever. He hasn't had a single good promo noticed.
Since he's become champion, you're right. It's just they don't know how to write a proper babyface. I think it's because they feel so. I guess they have to micromanage their baby faces, and they don't have to do that. Let these guys pour their heart and soul out.
And here's the terrible thing about all this is that technically Neville should win this title because he's the more over character, and you know, storyline wise, it should work. And I'm not saying that he's going to win. I could totally see a scenario where Rich Swann does retain, but if Neville does get this title, who does he face? Because what baby face are you going to put up against Neville?
Jack Gallagher?
I mean, I guess you could, but he's kind of like off doing his own thing.
And I really don't want to see. I like the Jack Gallagher character as it is. Let him go. Let him do zany things. Let him get over. But you're right, Sean. They do hit a little bit of a pitfall. Before we advance any further in the Cruiserweight conversation, though, I want Jobo and Steve's opinion. Jobo, the Cruiserweight Championship, are you interested in this match?
Joe, do you even watch Cruiserweight matches?
I do not watch 205 Live. I do not watch them on Raw. I still have not finished the Cruiserweight Classic. I'm going to finish it at some point. And what I've seen of the Cruiserweight Classic, I really like. Part of me wishes with these tournaments, and you can kind of, I haven't watched the UK tournament, but, you know, the fact that, you know, you have, you know, this champ and, you know, no idea with what to do with this championship right now. I like the tournament ideas. I think those are really fun and exciting. But when you give them a title and then don't know what to do with it, that's a problem. You're ruining the credibility of these tournaments. Again, UK, the United Kingdom Championship, you know, I don't have anything to say on that. You know, I'm not saying that it's a, you know, a failure in any sense in that. But, you know, they have this championship. You know, they're still figuring things out on there. Maybe it would be better if, you know, with these tournaments, they, you know, they gave them a trophy. You know, you win. You know, if you win the tournament, you know, you can win a, you know, a WWE contract. And then a lot of the other guys who lost, but, you know, WWE would like to bring in, you bring them into, you know, NXT or the main roster, wherever, as opposed to having a division, because the Cruiserweight division is just not doing well. I'm not interested. The matches I've seen, which I can't even name any, like back when they first started doing these, you know, back in, what was it, October?
September.
Yeah, like September. The crowd was never interested in them from what I've gathered. They don't know these people. It's just this division that came out of nowhere. There was a huge problem with that division. They should have made it their own show right away. Mm-hmm. on the network, as opposed to they're on Raw, and then they're 205 Live, which is being filmed after SmackDown. That, you know, whatever.
Which is starting to impact other SmackDown shows that people liked.
Yeah. I remember reading an article after the first 205 Live taping, like half of the arena was empty, more than half. Because no one stuck around. But in general, you know, I guess, you know, it's, as somebody who's not really invested in it, they're not doing anything to pull me into this. I'm going to say Neville's going to win because that's what everyone's saying, that he's really good right now. Not that I know or care, but, you know, that's just me.
Steve.
Is that your solution?
That is what I want to happen.
You're going to have every Cruiserweight fed to Braun.
That is what I want to happen to the Cruiserweights now. I am not behind them. I don't enjoy it. I just want every single one to stand in that ring and Braun just run them all over, and then Michael Cole be like, well, I guess that's the end of the Cruiserweights. And then and Braun just takes the belt and like throws it away. And it's gone.
No, he has to destroy it. He can't just throw it away.
He should bend that metal plate and then like rip the sides off of it and then just keep like the bent middle piece on like the back of his pants.
He should eat
and like
what I want to have happen is the next 3 months Braun just takes out like three Cruiserweights of Raw, and then that all builds up to Braun Strowman versus like three Cruiserweights at once, Rich Swann, whoever else you want to put in there, and he just destroys him in 5 minutes, and the post-match celebration is him eating the belt with steak sauce and just a single plastic fork.
They could build up and do another one versus all match.
There you go.
But in all seriousness, they're just falling flat. Like, I like Jack Gallagher. His stuff's funny. I mean, the 205 Live, when they're on their own, it's better, I guess. Better-ish, because they don't have to compete with other people. But it's just, to me, it just feels like it's falling flat, and they need to make some serious changes, or this thing's just going to fall by the wayside. And that's all I have to say about that.
And one of those changes, I would argue, is the production schedule. I would shoot 205 Live prior to SmackDown, allow Talking Smack to happen. I don't know how they work main event into
what they do. I don't think
they
do it anymore.
Or what was it, Superstars or whatever it was with SmackDown? Main event with SmackDown. Show they used to shoot on SmackDown, just kind of stopped doing that.
I think they did.
Well, good, because it was... It's just becoming too much. If you want these shows to matter, you have to have all hands on deck. I'm going to say this, too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to the writing staff. They're making way too many decisions well, way too many people are making way too many decisions. Got to narrow it down to one guy or two guys, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's
Vince all McMahon.
Not even Vince. I would just have Vince put whoever he trusts the most outside of himself in charge of 205 Live.
Yeah, because he's ever done that before.
Yeah, I mean, you start to trust Triple H with NXT.
That's different. That's developmental.
True. Use 205 Live as a little, you know, I don't know. They desperately need help. There is 15 men that need your help. Donate money to this number you see on the bottom of your screen, showing sad pictures of Tony. Tony Nese getting
waiting. Cruiserweight's like waiting for their cars at airports, like just sitting there all sad.
Or no, like sitting there waiting to go down the ramp and just like, oh, I'm not gonna get cheered because no one knows who I am because I was introduced.
One of my friends says they all look like make your own wrestlers on the 2K games.
They do. Mustafa Ali looks like a stock wrestler.
Oh, I disagree. I think that's not to throw shade or anything, but to me that sounds like someone who's uninformed of who these people are.
Right. I will say, where is Grand Metalik missing? Like, because from what I've heard, he has not been on since like
he became Heidenreich. He went home and there was a hurricane, and he just
he became Heidenreich.
Grand
we're gonna get Heidenreich back.
No, I think they realized that they were bringing in Tozawa and Metalik at the same time, and they were like, "Oh, damn, we need to only one can come in now, so we'll just have Tozawa come in."
Jesus. That entire division is a wreck. Speaking of wrecks, we're going to go to Charlotte Flair versus Bailey.
Did you smash your head into the locker?
Benny's hitting his head on doors on stuff.
That is my pre-podcast ritual, is to come home and smash my head on my door. Now, the Raw Women's Championship match between Charlotte Flair and Bailey. That's not a wreck. This is going to be a solid match. Charlotte is more than likely going to win. They're going to keep that streak going until Mania. But the build-up has been fine, in my opinion. I kind of like the whole bringing up the fact that Bailey's a fan, because it can do one of two things. Fans in the audience look and say, oh, I'm a fan too. I could be just like her, which is part of a freaking character. The other thing it does is it's a very good heel tactic, and I wish more heels would do this. I wish they would do this a little more often than they do. Bring up what people have done, like people that are just fans of the WWE or wrestlers that are fans of the WWE, and use that as like, this is what you are and this is what I am. I'm royalty, you're not. And I kind of like that. But it's going to be a solid match. It's going to probably, aside from the Rumble match, it could be one of the three matches of the nights or matches you want to watch for. We'll get to the next one. Jobo, Charlotte Flair versus Bailey.
Cool. I like Bailey. I still like, you know, Charlotte's still okay in my opinion. I mean, she's a good performer. Like, I know she is a great like in-ring worker. I'm not denying that at all, but like, you know, part of it is that you know she's gonna win. That's my prediction, by the way, that it's gonna be her. It's just I'm not interested in her. She's a good heel, and I guess that makes her a good heel, I guess. But Bailey, you know, I'm glad to see her, you know, in a higher position than she was a few months ago, when she's, you know, handing teddy bears out, and barely doing anything. I'm glad to see her in a little bit bigger of a position. And I hope the fans will fall in love with her. You know, the people who may not really know her on the main roster, I hope everyone will fall in love with her at this point, because she does deserve it. You know, she's such a likable character. I want her to go over here, but I know it's not going to happen. That's why I'm going with Charlotte. But, you know, I'm interested. I think they're going to put on a good match, and they have no reason not to.
Steve.
Meanwhile, before Benny started the podcast... But he's in his locker room.
I'm fired up.
I can't see straight. Oh my god.
Oh, you guys. Oh.
Ouch. Jokes.
This is, oh man, you got, the audience has me so choked up, I can't feel the left side of my face.
I forgot what the title's called.
But as far as this woman match goes, Charlotte has really, she's come leaps and bounds as a heel. I feel like she does the job very well. I do not see Bayley beating her because I don't like, for me, there's just not a lot of momentum behind this match. I mean, I know it's for the title and stuff, but I'm just not invested in it. Cause I mean, like, I love Bayley's character. I love how she's supposed to be that, like, that fangirl who made it, and she hugs the kids and she's super likable and really nice and stuff, but she just doesn't have that, like, championship grit to me that I felt during the match with Sasha. That I totally believe Bayley in that match. I was like, no, Bayley can beat Sasha. Like, she may be nice and lovable, but she's got that competitive edge. For me, this feels like almost if you were to take a little kid and pit her against an all-star athlete. I just don't buy Bayley's character beating Charlotte now. Hopefully when she takes the loss, she'll come back more fired up and still be nice, but have more of an edge to her. But, yeah, I see Charlotte winning this. And as far as this match goes, I'm really not that invested in it.
Sean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be a fine match. The buildup's been okay. I obviously Charlotte's going to win. The only thing that I thought was a little odd was when Charlotte was reading the Bayley poem and just for some reason couldn't read it. And that was a little weird, yeah. But... other than that, it's been fine. It's just, to me, this feels like a more of a transitional thing to get us to Mania.
Yeah, it does. I agree. It does feel like this is just kind of like, all right, let's just get to Mania type thing. But, I don't know. Good match. I think it's going to be a very good match. Moving on to a match
before my last point on that, I just hope that we, I hope Ric Flair comes back and we get to see him cry again.
Oh,
did you see the car commercial he was in, or whatever was the
no.
commercial he was in? It's great. It's Ric Flair is a used car salesman. Look it up on YouTube. It's fantastic.
I just like seeing him around. I think we need some more of him.
He's great. You know what I've really started to like about Flair, especially in his role now as more of a he's more of an ambassador now to the WWE, is that he's starting to make appearances everywhere. He was at the Falcons camp. Sean, was it before the championship game or was it?
I think it was before.
It was before. That's still cool. I mean, it's nice to see he's going out there. It's also really nice to see people our age that are athletes that know who Ric Flair is and respect him and get the whole thing, because some people don't. But it's just cool to see Ric Flair around. Anyway, AJ Styles versus John Cena. I thought this was a 2 out of 3 falls match. Was I completely misled?
Completely misled.
Okay, that's more the concussion. It's the WWE Championship.
Benny, you're going to forget the title next. And you're going to have to do a weird stare-off with Taker and Brock.
Better watch your mouth.
Brock is going to walk into my room, and then Undertaker is going to appear, and I'm going to stare at him. Oh crap!
That would actually be pretty hilarious to see, just because the sheer size of men in that room, and then there's Benny,
and then Goldust. WCW is going to be staring into your window.
No, Joe, seven, that wasn't Goldust. That was Seven.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah.
I'm just going to pull up my shades to try and leave my room, and Seven's going to be like, Seven.
You're gonna go to your bathroom to try and get away, and so Goldust will be in there with his feet in your toilet.
And I'm going to turn to him, and my eyes are going to go dark. I remember that amazing character. Anyway, WCW is fantastic. it's so bad. Like, it got so bad, it was great. Anyway, AJ Styles, John Cena, a match that, again, we know this is going to tear the house down, but there is some speculation, Sean. Is John Cena going to win?
Yeah, because I've been telling you this since August, and no one's listening to me. And even with that horrible, horrible promo that was done on Tuesday on SmackDown, it's pretty obvious that Cena's going to win. If he doesn't win, I would be shocked, and only because they might hold it off until Elimination Chamber. That's the only reason why I would think that he wouldn't be winning the title. Because as we all know, AJ is going to be going into a program with Shane, which is awful. And Cena is clearly going to have the title going into Mania. Not quite sure who his opponent's going to be, but it's a shame because that promo, and I just want to keep going back to that promo from Tuesday. Oh my God, the heelishness of that promo. Like, I don't know how you can go into that match and not cheer AJ after the verbal beating that Cena gave to him, undeserved. And, you know, to me, it's like, I'm sure it'll be a good match, even though everyone raves about their SummerSlam match. I thought that was just a good match. I didn't think it was anything special. But I'm sure they'll have a good match, but this time Cena is going to come out on top.
I really would hope that Cena's next championship win was going to be something where they build up the whole, oh, he's all knocking on the doorstep. He's knocking on the doorstep of the record.
That's what they've done.
Really? I haven't really seen that much.
Well, then you're not watching the show because they mention it every single time he comes out.
I hope for all of our sakes, I hope that this doesn't happen at the Rumble. I really hope they put it off until Elimination Chamber.
In the Alamo Dome, they're going to have 40,000 people there, or 50,000 if you listen to Roman Reigns. What bigger place to do it other than WrestleMania? And clearly, you know, he's not winning the Rumble, so.
God, I hope, I know, Sean, I just hope you're wrong. I know. Steve?
I have to go back to what Sean was saying about that promo. That promo just felt so heelish and not in the right moment. Sean said before the podcast, I completely agreed with him, that was a promo that Triple H would have cut on someone during his Evolution days when he was at the peak of his heelness. Like, it just didn't fit where Cena was coming from. I get that he's like trying to shut up AJ Styles and whatever, but you can do it without going after his background and saying that like he's better than the indies and stuff. That didn't make me mad. I wasn't one of the smarks that let out a gasp like, he matched the indie darlings.
Yeah, or you only have the title belt because I allowed you to. You're just a guy. Like
he beat you clean as a whistle.
Which is awful because now that finish means nothing. Why did we do that if he's just going to bury him like this?
And Cena even said to his face he's going to bury him.
That promo, other than it being like a Triple H promo from 2003, it kind of feels like a WCW promo where it's like, I'm going to shoot, brother. It's like, come on.
Yeah. I gotta agree with Sean on the outcome, too. I really feel we're going to see a 16-time champion that's not Ric Flair.
Christ. Joe Bell?
I think both of Vince's boyfriends are winning the main stuff Sunday night. Everything you guys said. It's the thing that I like about like the AJ side of things is, you know, he's not doing the same thing every week. He's, you know, one week he's complaining about, you know, why is John Cena having a match? He just came back from, you know, movies and TV shows and things. Why are you giving him a title opportunity? Then he's complaining about the poster and how he's in the background, which I agree with. Why is your world champion in the background?
Next to Rich Swann.
Yeah, it makes no sense. He's valid, and that should be a babyface thing. You know that he should be a babyface. He wants respect. He's not getting respect. He wants respect. And John Cena's coming out. And I think on his end, you know, he's good on the mic. You know, he's good. But every week with him, it's everyone here starts chanting Cena sucks. And the internet people are saying how I bury people. And like you said, the indies suck. And that's terrible, you know, especially because they're bringing in a lot of indie talent. They want the indie talent. They're getting the Roderick Strongs. They're getting the Bobby Roods. They're getting the guys from New Japan and the cruiserweight guys. They're getting them in there. They want them in there. But now you're going to trash the indie scene and say Cena's better? No, come on. That's just a slap in the face.
It's not a good, you're right, Jobo. It's not a good business strategy because right now, WWE hasn't really proven to be able to build up its own stars and get them over.
And Cena can cut a better promo than that. That's kind of like taking low-hanging fruit.
it's I mean, I think they're going to have a good match.
that will be my exact reaction when Cena wins.
They, you know, they're going to have a good match. AJ's going to be fine. I just think the roles are completely reversed. I heard a theory that Cena could win. You know, he could tie Ric Flair on Sunday and then at some point lose it and then win it back at WrestleMania and then beat Ric Flair's record at that point.
Too much.
Yeah. But you know what? I wouldn't put it past Vince, though. I would not put it past Vince.
Oh, I know.
But it's... I'm interested in the match. I just wish that, you know, the roles were reversed and you didn't have your top guy trashing the very same people you're trying to sign to NXT.
Question for all three of you. Would you be able to tolerate a Cena win if it also includes a heel turn on Sunday?
If you do, no, then it has to be a double turn.
Yeah, yeah, that would have to be a double. It would have to be a double switch,
and then you would tolerate it.
Yes, if he's facing Undertaker.
If Styles is facing,
no, Cena would have to win and then face Undertaker.
Okay, who would Styles face? Theoretically, would you still do the Shane promo or program?
No, because then they'd be both baby faces.
If I'm hoping he'll be back.
I know they tease Styles versus The Miz.
Not really. I mean, I know this. I was thinking this, but then I realized, wait a minute, he's on a different brand. But you know, things could change.
We don't know what they're doing with interpromotional matches. Like they used to do them all the time back in the day at WrestleMania, but we don't know what they're doing.
But I think if Cena's going against Undertaker, I think AJ versus Finn Balor could be really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
If he's healthy.
Yeah, if he's good to go. I mean, don't chance it. But,
or maybe AJ versus Samoa Joe.
I don't want to see that. It's too there's too much TNA stink on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of TNA in that match.
He could finally get his comeuppance against James Ellsworth.
Oh God.
Go away, Jobo.
That's something I would like to touch on though, Sean. That part on SmackDown. Oh
my God.
God.
That was terrible.
It's a front runner for worst angle of the year.
I thought the same thing.
Taking James Ellsworth shopping.
But that wasn't, I mean, and I pointed this out to
January 26th, and we already have a worst angle of 26.
I pointed this out to Steve. Like, they set this up 2 weeks ago. Like, I really feel like they forgot to do this last week, and because it was supposed to be last week, and then they put a graphic underneath this week saying last week, but they didn't air.
And it's funny that they did not have the mic, the crowd mic on. Like it was just the sound from the bees. Like you did not hear any crowd reaction at all because there wouldn't be any.
No, it'd be silent.
what was the name of the guy that worked in the store?
I don't know. Stereotypical gig store clerk.
Cedric, I think, something like that.
Yeah, he's the only one that came out looking strong after that one.
Sean, the only thing that would have made it better if Goldust was the store clerk.
Oh, yeah. That would have been slightly better.
That would have been good. That would have been really good.
Bam! Oh, God.
But anyway, all right. Hopefully our beliefs don't come true. But John Cena... anyway, let's move to the no disqualification match for the Universal Championship, where Chris Jericho is going to be suspended in a shark cage. Well, Sean... I have a question. If Chris Jericho's in a shark cage and it's no DQ, could Chris Jericho get involved still?
It defeats the purpose. Why is it no DQ? If I don't understand, like, what is the no DQ stipulation supposed to do? Oh, well, you know, Kevin Owens could get himself disqualified. Well, that's not what happened last time. It's Jericho who got him disqualified. And that was the whole point of putting him in the cage. Part of me feels like, and I think that there's a little more hope, the fact that it is a no DQ match, is what if the idea of putting this no DQ stip is that someone else interferes in this match and costs Roman the title?
Are you saying maybe Strowman?
It could be Strowman. I also think that this could be a spot for maybe a debuting Samoa Joe.
Ooh.
You know, either or, you know, I think I'm still going to say Roman's going to win. However, I would not be surprised if this stipulation was put in because someone is interfering to set up Roman's WrestleMania program.
You know, we talk about that. And before I get to you guys, Steve and Jobo, I want to say this. I think this is a very good idea if they have Strowman come out, cost Roman a chance at the title, then have Jericho versus Braun Strowman for the United States title. Strowman gets the U.S. title, then you do Strowman versus Reigns for the U.S. title WrestleMania. That belt needs a marquee match. Strowman versus Reigns is a pretty solid match. I'll say that.
Strowman versus Roman.
Strowman versus Roman.
And you said for what title?
The U.S. title.
Who's getting the U.S. title?
Strowman would beat Chris Jericho.
So he's going to go heel on heel?
Jericho's pretty, he's pretty babyface at this point.
Oh, really? Because he was wrestling on the babyface team this week?
He's still a heel.
True. Well, I mean, they did heel on heel with AJ Styles and Miz.
Okay, that's one in like 1,000 examples.
Okay, I think would it not kind of work?
No, not really.
Because the way they position Strowman is kind of that heel that's against everyone.
I mean, to me, it feels like there, and that's part of the complication with them putting the U.S. title on Jericho is that's probably the belt that him and Owens are going to be feuding over, which is a shame, but that's what it looks like.
It's a shame. I'm loving the button bar tonight. Hit it again. No, you're right. Cause the way they got the title would create a pause for, you know, oh, well, you know, it's a two. It was a 2-on-1 for the United States Championship and the 2-1. So
also, I want to point out the fact that we've seen this Kevin Owens Roman Reigns match like 10 times now. And it doesn't feel special anymore. Like,
nope.
And they announced this stipulation the night after Roadblock, I believe. So that's been 6 weeks. It feels like it's been months that they announced this match. And it's just, once they finally do the match and you see the shark cage, it's going to be like, wow, this feels like the best build that they've ever had because it's so dumb. And it's finally going to happen after all these weeks.
I'll tell you what, there's a reason I'm excited for the Royal Rumble, and that's because of the main event. But before we get to the main event, I want Steve and Jobo's opinions on the title match. We'll start with Jobo.
Yeah, I think Vince's other boyfriend's going to win, and then he and John Cena are going to run out, and they're all going to kiss each other. Oh. And then, yeah.
Are they
going to
go out for ice cream?
Yeah, going to go out for ice cream. Roman's going to carry Vince around on his back. Vince is going to have a balloon, and he's going to have a little sailor suit, maybe one of those like little spitty dervish hats. and then he'll call Roman Daddy.
oh, Daddy.
I think that's
you're
just gonna
so
happen.
Big. you're my champ, Eddie.
Huge.
Roman's gonna go. I'm not a good dad. I'm not a bad dad. I'm the dad.
So I think that's what's gonna happen. But in all seriousness, Roman's gonna win. I have a feeling. You know, you can tell. You know. Doesn't seem like they really care about Kevin Owens as the champion. Not only have we seen this match before, like you said, Sean, I remember like the beginning of the month or the end of December, I was listening to this podcast and this guy was talking about every combination of Reigns, Rollins, Owens, and Jericho that we've seen.
Same four guys.
The same four guys, main event every week. The thing you could say about SmackDown is that at least they do different things for the main event. Mm-hmm. Different title matches, different things. Here it's the same. It's essentially the same thing. I don't care anymore. If they put it on Roman, I was going to say Rowan.
Rowan University wins the Universal Championship.
Eric Rowan's returning?
Yeah, he's coming back. He's going to have a sheet mask, and it's going to be great.
Is he going to bring bottles of wine for everyone?
Did he murder someone?
I
think he murdered someone. Those videos he's been posting are horrifying.
I don't know. I know he's a vineyard, so everyone's going to get nice and hammered.
Yeah,
but like, you know, if they give it to Roman, maybe they'll do some new feud or something. Have Kevin Owens lose the rematch clause, and then, you know, put that into a program with Jericho. Roman can go do something else. You know, maybe that could be cool. But you know, it's Roman Reigns, and he's a very divisive figure. So is that good? Is it what's best for business? Is it what's best for Vince? I don't know. I do think it's going to Roman. I think it's stupid that it's an ODQ match and it defeats the purpose of Jericho being up there. Vince will be happy by the end of the night.
I also want to point out, 3 years in a row, we're trying this Roman Reigns title thing, and it's still not working.
It's not.
Sean, we'll go back to your point when you say they cannot write a proper babyface, and Roman Reigns is example A, B, C, and D.
I put a little bit of that on him too. I don't think that's. I don't want to say that it's totally not his fault, but I think a little bit is on him
his
too.
Fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the blame on Roman. He's just, at least with John Cena, and we've said this before, he's a likable guy. Roman's probably a nice person, but in terms of likability, there's some questions there.
I never agreed with this statement, you know, the you can't wrestle stuff, because the guy is improving in terms of his in-ring stuff. He can wrestle. Is he as good as an AJ Styles? No,
he can wrestle. He can do the basics, but it's...
Yeah.
I don't think he puts on compelling matches.
He's improved. He's improved, I would say, almost drastically from what he was a year, 2 years ago.
I don't know about that.
He's falling into what the WWE has begun to recycle constantly, which is, you know, the same handful of moves he gets over and over again. There's no uniqueness, you know. Okay, he's gotten better in the ring, but his character hasn't developed anything from what he was in the Shield. And this is, we're approaching now, what is it, 4 years since the Shield?
Yeah, well, since the Shield? No, they broke up in 2014, so...
3 years since the Shield.
Sure.
And his character arc has been... That's his character arc.
I will say...
More of a character line.
I will say, I heard a rumor of, I'm not going to say just because I don't know if it's true or not, but I did hear a rumor about the possible WrestleMania match that he could be having. And if it is true, oh my God, I worry if the crowd's going to just completely just dump on this match just by how bad it could be.
You're going to keep us in suspense?
Yeah, I don't want to say what it is.
Okay. Well, with that being said, this is really shaping up to be a Royal Rumble that could disappoint us. You know, if Roman Reigns and John Cena win on the same card, and then, you know, the fans don't get any kind of service. I mean, we're talking about a lot of, and they're not heels, but people the fans should be cheering. Like, you know, Neville's a heel. We shouldn't be cheering him, but we do. Charlotte Flair is a heel. We shouldn't be cheering her. We kind of do. John Cena, mixed, you're going to get mixed results. Roman Reigns, you're going to get a lot of boos at that point. Even you go back to the pre-show, you know, you could argue maybe the club wins, Nia Jax might be able to get one over. This could be a very much of a letdown. But anyway, we'll go to the Royal Rumble match. 22 competitors have been announced. 8 spots open. We will talk about who we think might slot into those 8 spots, but first, let's go down the names of some of the competitors. Goldberg, Lesnar, the entire New Day, Chris Jericho, Strowman, Corbin, Undertaker, Ambrose, Miz, Ziggler, Shane, Cesaro, whatever, the Wyatt Family, Big Show, Sami Zayn, Big Cass, Rusev, and Mojo, my tag team partner, should be here. Get better, Zack Ryder, Raleigh. So that's the list of competitors. This is a star-studded Royal Rumble. I mean, you're talking about guys from, you know, your Goldbergs, your Lesnars, your Undertakers, to classic stars like Chris Jericho, Randy Orton, Big Show, to indie darlings and Sami Zayn, to guys that have built themselves up to be a lot better than what we used to think of them, Corbin and Strowman. And, of course, you have tag team like New Day. You know you're going to get some puns with them. Big Cass is a very good competitor. Rusev. There's a lot to like about this Rumble.
Did you say that with the New Day you're going to get some puns?
Yeah, they're going to make some jokes. You know they're going
to
get.
What does that have to do with the Rumble cash match?
Cash me outside. How about that?
Pun. Jokes. You're going to get jokes in the Royal Rumble.
They're going to go on the microphones and cut some jokes during the Rumble.
They might. You never know.
What the hell?
When CM Punk took the microphone and talked before every competitor came out?
Yeah, that was great.
Know, people have had mic time during the Rumble before. Bray Wyatt had mic time. You know, like, everyone, you never know what can happen. And this is one of those Rumbles where we don't really know what could happen. We can speculate on winners. We'll do that a little bit later. But right now, let's talk about the Royal Rumble, Jobo. Are you excited for it?
Yeah, I'm always excited for the Rumble. Well, I mean, always as in the one Rumble I saw.
Well, you weren't around for the 2013 Rumble.
No, I was not. But I guess I should rephrase.
I'm gonna get nauseous.
That was the one where they literally told us beforehand John Cena's gonna win.
But like, I enjoy the Rumbles. I went back and watched. I was trying to watch all the Rumbles leading up to it. That didn't happen, but I did watch the very first two, and they were cool. They were different. But I liked last year's Rumble too. You know, I mean, the finish was, you know, the ending and who was going to win. It was a little predictable. You knew kind of what they were doing with the whole stipulation of the Rumble match. But, you know, I think, you know, there's fun moments in it. I'm looking forward to this, in that you kind of can't really tell who's going to win right off the bat. Like, it could be a number of people, especially because you do have the big names in there like Goldberg and Brock and Undertaker. Also, I think it's safe to assume that Kane's going to be in it.
I hope so.
Because you need people that, you know, because what is it? He has the highest, the highest.
He's the most, like, I think he's the most eliminations. Oh, yeah. Sean, have some stats.
We'll
for
get
us
to that one. Later. Yeah.
But no, I'm excited for it. Are we doing who we think's going to win?
We'll hold. I first just want everyone's opinions and ideas, and then we'll go to that in a little bit. But
I think the biggest question is, is Seth Rollins going to be in this match?
I think he'll weasel his way in somehow. Or if not, he might interfere in the Universal title match.
In what regard?
Helping Roman win it, maybe?
That's not a very babyface thing to do.
Exactly. Because they don't understand who's a babyface and who's a heel.
They don't understand how babyfaces should act.
Yeah, but then they had that U.S. title match between Roman and Jericho where the winner between Owens and Rollins got the ability to interfere in the no DQ match, and then Rollins he won and then never showed up again.
They don't know what they're doing. It's safe to say they don't know what they're doing right now. We're dealing with a writing staff that has no idea where they can take things because they have restrictions and they don't have restrictions they do have restrictions.
I really hope that he does show up in the match because they can use another body, especially another able worker in that match to sort of, you know, get things going. I guess it would be interesting to just ask people who they think certain statistics will, like, who do you think is going to be the one who lasts the longest in the match? Just open forum. What do you guys think? They always have guy every year.
I'll say it could be one of two people because I still haven't made up my mind completely. It's either going to be Chris Jericho or it's going to be Sami Zayn. Because I think what they want to do with Jericho is they want to tease the ability. I think they want it because Jericho has been having some great work. They want to tease the possibility of Jericho versus Owens if Owens retains. The other thing is they may want to do it with Sami Zayn just because they want to build him up as this character that we feel so sympathetic towards and we like, and we're supposed to like him. And maybe keeping him in there the longest exposes us to his wrestling ability, gets us behind him. You know, we can have one of those almost Daniel Bryan-esque moments with Sami Zayn in the ring and have our hearts ripped out when someone eliminates him.
I'm feeling I could see Dean Ambrose. I could also see Baron Corbin too, because
really?
I don't know why. I just have a weird feeling that Baron's going to be doing a lot of stuff in this because they're really into Baron Corbin for some unbelievable reason.
I could see Dean Ambrose being one or two, and he's in the match for a lot. I'm not saying he's there till the end, but he's in the match for a good chunk of it. And actually, I think that Baron Corbin is going to eliminate Dean Ambrose at some point. Baron Corbin is going to get maybe a later number and end up throwing him out, which may lead to a feud down the line.
Steve?
Yeah, okay. He's going to be in there the longest time.
He's going to be in there for 7 minutes tops.
Who eliminates him, though?
Benny, he was in there for like 12 minutes last year.
Oh, Christ, he was.
I think Braun Strowman's going to win the whole thing. I'm just going to say it right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
I think Braun's going to win the whole thing.
I wouldn't mind that.
I would be 100% fine with that. But I think as far as long runners go, I could definitely see Dean Ambrose hanging on because he's that rascally way of wrestling, and like he just finds ways to live. And also agree with Sami Zayn because they've been really trying to build him as like the never say die, just like give everything type of wrestler. So I agree with both of those. But I see Braun Strowman winning, but I don't see him being in there for a very long time because he's big. And
I think it depends because usually in Rumble matches they go in layers. And I'm curious which layer he's put into because you might not want to put him in you might not want to put him in the same spot as where Goldberg and Brock are, just because you might want to focus on them as opposed to Braun. So I could see actually Braun going in the match early and just dominating, and then eventually maybe like a Brock or someone comes out and just eliminates Braun Strowman.
If WWE has any semblance behind them, they would put they would have Undertaker, Brock, and Goldberg in the ring, and then the timer runs out, and here comes James Ellsworth.
Yeah, well, I think he's showing up in the match, regardless.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I know he's going to be in the Rumble. I know he's going to be. But if they have any semblance of mind, they would put him in there with some of the biggest guys just to watch him. Like when Braun Strowman carried him by his face.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they do this. So we have Goldberg and Lesnar. They team up to eliminate someone. Maybe Big Show or someone else was in there, and they both eliminate them at the same time. Clock's winding down. They turn, and we have a stare-off, okay? And then all of a sudden you hear James Ellsworth music hits. He walks I'm talking like Ellsworth takes a very long time to get down to the ring. As long as he possibly can, build the crowd up. Then he just decides to, like, cling on to, like, a piece of, like, the outside of the padding or the wall around the ring. I forget what it's called.
Where are we going with this?
Well, no. Then out comes Braun Strowman, picks up Ellsworth with one arm, goes into the ring, puts him in the middle. All three are just staring at him. All three just eat him alive, toss him out of the ring. And then we can get Strowman, Lesnar, and Goldberg in there at the exact same time. That'd be cool.
I think they kind of built up the fact that Big Show is going to be eliminated by Strowman in the match, which will probably lead to a program. I will say I am curious because Big Show did lose a ton of weight. If Braun can actually power slam him now,
that would be something.
That would be. I mean, you don't even have to do it in the Rumble. You could do it in just a regular match and save it. But that would be an interesting thing.
I have no doubt in my mind that Braun could pick up. Braun could pick up Big Show. He's an ex strongman competitor. He's lifted stuff twice as heavy as Big Show
and if you have to do it, you can put Big Show on like the second rope and then pick him up or something, like, you know.
Yeah.
I will say I was saying this to Steve earlier. I feel like it's guaranteed one of three people are going to be the number 30, and one of those three were all in the ring at the same time on Monday, that being Goldberg, Brock, or Taker. That one of them is going to be number 30.
I think it's Taker.
You say Taker, but
there have been rumors, and Sean, I don't. This is not me beating on Taker at all, but there have been a lot of rumors that when he has been in the ring and the kneel down, people were saying online that he was having trouble getting back up.
He needs another surgery on his hip.
Yeah, his other hip is still bad. He doesn't want to do it until he's going to be either done with wrestling completely or be out for a long time.
Yeah, which is why I worry that, you know, they need to start putting him in the ring with guys that he can actually work with and not a guy like a Braun Strowman.
And that all, well, exactly. This all, the hip thing also poses this question. Why would you put him in there earlier? And if you do put him in there earlier, and maybe how long does he go? And if you don't have him go too long, you have him get eliminated, can he take a bump?
I mean, he's known for doing the spot where he goes over the top and lands on both feet. I think he can still do that. And also, there's safe ways to going over the top rope and, like, catching yourself on the apron a bit. And, you know, there's... It's not... I mean, granted, even though I know the Iron Sheik won a battle royal because he couldn't take a bump over the top rope, there's there's ways that you can safely take that bump. I'm not saying that Taker won't be number 30. In fact, he probably will be. I just... You look at him and you look at Goldberg, and, you know, they like to save Goldberg. Goldberg was number 30 in the last Rumble that he was in. And they might want Goldberg to be as limited as possible. So you could see that with Taker, too. They might not want to use him all that much because of his health. So it's interesting. I think definitely one of the two will be number 30, but I could also see Brock being number 30 as well. Speaking of numbers, there is one thing that I want more than anything in this entire match.
Okay.
And that is, I want whoever wins the match, I don't care whoever it is, I want the winner to be number 27. Because they keep touting this stat, you know, the most Rumble winners ever was at number 27. You know, they have four winners at 27. And we haven't had a winner at that number since 2001. So the first 14 years of the Rumble, actually more like 13, for the first 13 years, you had four winners at 27. And since then, in the last 16 years, you've had zero. And you've been touting the stat, and eventually it's going to become not the highest number of winners. So
it's going to take a while for it to get to that point.
They started making it a joke where, like, some jobber would come out at number 27. And I really feel like they should. They've had so much time. I mean, for example, when Batista won a few years ago, he came out 28. Why couldn't he be out there for 90 seconds before then? I don't, like, come on.
Would you want to see 90 seconds more of Batista?
Yeah, if it means that we're going to bolster up this record. Like, you he's made these
bad
records.
Batista is not bad, first of all.
No, Batista's never been a bad worker. I mean, granted, he said him.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, at that time, would you want to see 90 seconds more of Batista?
Sure, why not? I mean, it's...
People were already starting the blue Tista. They weren't happy that he was
but see
the
that's
push.
But see, you're talking about something completely different. That's just a company directive that you're talking about. The whole idea is we want to bolster up this stat, and you know, they did it with Roman Reigns in the same match where he eliminated 12 people. You bolster up the stat. You don't have to do it every year, but I'm saying you haven't done it in so long. And if you're going to have someone come in towards the end that wins the match, why not have it be at 27?
I would we'll be fine see, with 27. Lynn.
We'll see. Before we go any further, Steve, I want your opinions on the Royal Rumble. We didn't get the Steve's full opinion on the Rumble.
The Royal Rumble is by far, I think it's my favorite pay-per-view out of all of them, just because of the match itself, the Rumble match. It's just, there's nothing like it. I mean, there's that, like, you know, there's a few battle royales, but there's nothing compared to, like, you know, the mystery and just the amount of manpower. And it's a really cool match. And I really like the whole stuff with the surprise entrances and you never know. Well, besides when they said John Cena's going to win, you never know really who's going to win. I don't, it's just my favorite pay-per-view of the whole year. So I get real excited this time of year. As far as the match goes, I enjoyed this year that we really don't have a great idea of who's going to win. There's the last few years, the mystery's been there, but at the same time, you can kind of deuce and be like, okay, he's definitely
was there a mystery?
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this year I can honestly say I have no clue who's going to win. I really do not know. I have speculations obviously, but I don't know who. But yeah, I'm really excited for this match, and I'm really excited to see who they're going to fill in for surprise entrances. Maybe we're going to get, maybe Hacksaw Jim Duggan's going to come in.
Again?
Oh, my God.
How many times are we going to do this?
He won the first Royal Rumble show.
I know that.
Maybe he comes out at 27.
Do you know what number he won at?
Wasn't it one?
No, it wasn't one. Of course not. No. He was number 13 when he won.
Oh!
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited.
Speaking of surprise entrance, do we want to maybe predict any surprise entrance?
I just wanted to say one more thing before we get to that. As a kid, the Royal Rumble was my favorite match. It's my favorite pay-per-view because of this match. I think what, Steve, you were getting at the manpower is that there are so many different characters involved, and there's a flow of emotion. Like, you always have, like, a comical, there's comical relief, there's power, there's fear, there's anger. Like, there's all these different emotions put into it. It's a roller coaster for over an hour. It's fantastic, and I've loved it.
I'll be honest, Benny, for a second there, you were sounding like Yoda from episode one.
Anger, fear, you must avoid the dark side.
The Rumble match, it touches home with me because it was one of the first pay-per-views I ever watched as a wrestling fan. Just, you know, the characters that have been in it, it's great. But anyway, all right, let's get to surprise entrance and who we think is going to win, even though we've kind of already done the win thing, but there's some major spoilers there. But surprise entrance.
I think,
you know what? Who do we want to go first here?
I mean,
let's Sean go.
Just open forum. Yeah. I don't think we have to go in order. I think Ty Dillinger could show up.
I would really like that.
It better be at 10.
Yeah, it should be.
This is their best opportunity to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I don't think that we're going to get too many surprise entrants this year.
I think we might.
I don't think so. I mean, there's plenty of guys that they can fill in those slides. Like, for example, American Alpha's not on the show. They could show up in the Rumble.
Yeah, the SmackDown tag team titles who aren't doing anything, or they're not giving them anything to do.
Yeah.
WWE 2K15, Creative doesn't have anything for you. Creative doesn't have anything for you.
I noticed on the poster, R-Truth and Kalisto were on there, so... they could probably show up.
I could see Kalisto showing up.
Well, R-Truth could do another spot where he thinks it's a ladder match.
That was kind of funny.
That was pretty funny.
You know what? I will admit that made me laugh a decent amount.
Little moments like that, it makes made that Rumble pretty good last year. Like, little moments like that.
But there was also some really frustrating things last year too. I'm not saying it wasn't awful like the 2015 one was, but yeah.
Sean, which one was the 40-man one?
2011.
Oh, my.
Ooh, 40.
Trust me, it was 10 people too many.
Yeah.
You got Diesel at 32.
Seeing Diesel come out was like the cool thing about that one for me, because I was like, oh, man, it's Diesel.
Booker T was kind of cool, too.
That was cool, too. But I mean, like, just to see him come out as Diesel was like, it's not Kevin Nash. What the hell?
Yeah, he dyed his hair and everything.
Yeah, and he came out to the old bird, damn, same. And my favorite part about that was Joey Styles or Taz saying "Holy shit!" and they had to cut his microphone because they knew he was going to say it.
I don't think either one of those guys were on commentary at that time. It was probably like Matt Stryker.
All I know is someone said "Holy shit!" and they cut his microphone.
What I like the most about the highlight for one last thing about the Diesel thing is like the crowd. Like you hear the music start, and the crowd's like, "What? Oh!"
Oh, Diesel, right.
Great. Why couldn't you have just done it with Kevin frickin' Nash? But yeah, Joe Bo.
You're mentioning Ty Dillinger. The other one that's going around is it'd be really cool, Samoa Joe.
See, I feel like Samoa Joe, I mean, I'm not against him being in the match, but I feel like if he's going to be in there, he should probably win.
Right. If he gets in there,
that's
a good
chance. I wonder if he's going to interfere in the title match. And that's going to be the way he appears.
Sean, right. You could finally see Brock versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, yes. I've been waiting for that for so long.
I know. Maybe, I was going to say, we were talking about that last year.
Yeah.
Maybe Samoa Joe interferes in the SmackDown title match.
No, because it's not an ODQ. And what are you going to do, build Samoa Joe and Cena?
That'd be interesting.
Eh.
Yeah, because he would bury him because he's an indie darling.
Well, you never know. How about this name? Okay, and I know he's literally just returned.
He's not medically cleared. He's not showing up in the match. Stop it.
He's gone on record in saying that he is not wrestling yet.
I know.
He is going to be at the Hall of Fame, and that's all he's cleared for right now. If anything, he'll do stuff post-Mania, I'd feel like.
At least I want to see, like, when they really get into the road to WrestleMania, I want to see him make some appearances on Raw and SmackDown. He doesn't have to wrestle, but yeah, I would like to see maybe a backstage segment with.
I don't
with
think
American
he's showing
Alpha.
Up at all until the Hall of Fame.
That would be a little bit of a letdown.
Why? It makes the Hall of Fame bigger.
It does, but can't we just like at least see some like?
Why?
He's hanging around because I don't know. It just would be cool.
Yeah, you're gonna waste him on TV. You know, at least with the Hall of Fame, you can build to people subscribing to the network going, oh, I want to see Kurt Angle for the first time.
Hey, you make a good point.
My thing is this, though. Let's say Kevin Owens retains and whatever entrance Triple H comes out, if he's even going to be in this. He got Kevin Owens to be the champion. Why would he want to win the Royal Rumble to face Kevin Owens?
Well, then he would have to take let's say Rollins is in the Rumble, like somehow he gets in, then
okay.
He'd have to eliminate both of them at the same time.
Right, okay, yeah, that's true.
Otherwise, you're right, it doesn't make any sense.
This isn't a surprise entrant, but I wouldn't mind seeing The Miz come out to Daniel Bryan's music.
I've heard that a lot over the last few days.
Honestly,
I don't think they're going
to. What I would like to see with The Miz is like he has an early entry number and he comes in, like he wrestles for a little bit and then goes outside and just does commentary for the next 45 minutes of the match. Like that's how he stays out of being eliminated. He just rolls out and just does commentary with the commentary team.
So you mean he comes in, takes a powder, and then just goes on commentary?
Yeah, sure. Well, anything, yeah.
Do you guys think if maybe the crowd chants CM Punk hard enough that he'll come out?
Bro, you have no idea. I have inside sources in WWE. He's been backstage for the last 2 days. Bro.
What?
You have no idea.
This is a name more for Sean, but Kenny Omega.
No, he's not showing up.
His contract's not even up yet. He was trolling people signing autographs the last few days as number 30, but that's not going to happen. He was trolling people.
What about... I'm trying to think of other surprise entrants. I don't think we're going to get too many like returning superstars.
I don't know how many like older guys that you want to do for that match because they are in the Alamo Dome and it would take them forever to get to the
ring. DDP? I think we're getting to the overexposure point with
the. That's another reason why Taker might be number 30, because it's going to take him about 7 minutes to get to the ring.
That is a big ramp.
Yeah.
A big old ramp. God, who else? I just had a name, but it just left my head. Damn.
Paul London.
Paul London? What?
That's random.
Is he going to run out with a mask on?
He's just going to walk out smiling. Is that what's got him fired?
Paul Burchill.
I'd like to see Mil Mascaris show. What?
I said Paul Burchill.
Which character, the pirate or the incest?
No, the pirate.
I'd like to see Mil Mascaris show up in the Rumble, and he eliminates himself by jumping over the top rope again, just like he did 20 years ago.
It'd be fantastic.
Here's another question. Since Dolph Ziggler's in the Rumble, and they've been teasing this storyline, does JBL get involved somehow?
I'd be interested in that.
Oh, if JBL was a surprise entrant, I'd be fine with that.
Because he's not calling the Rumble. He's not on the three-man team that they have for the match.
That would be.
Are they doing a Raw table and a SmackDown table show?
No, they're. It's going to be Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and Jerry Lawler.
Wow. Okay.
Is Morrow's not even doing the pre-show?
Well, they don't have any SmackDown matches on the pre-show.
That's true.
True.
As far as surprise entrance goes this year, I mean, I'm just throwing out names out there because just for shits and giggles, pretty much.
Trying to think.
RVD is always an option. He's always available.
RVD is always an option.
RVD.
What if Mr. Kennedy came out?
No, that would no, that wouldn't happen.
That would not. No, that will never happen. He's burned that bridge well. Yeah.
He has torched that bridge on his way out.
Bob Backlund, maybe.
I'd be fine with Bob.
Darren Young's hurt.
Did you see Darren Young's arm?
Yeah,
that was bad.
Oh, yeah, what did you do to him?
I didn't do anything.
Sean Benny greased that turnbuckle.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
When I saw that thing, it looks broken. I thought it was broken.
I think he detached his bicep, didn't he? Already break it? It was one of those.
Yeah, something like that.
It's an injury that's going to take a while to heal from. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I hope you're happy.
Well, no, I'm going to say Darren Young. Get better, man. I'm sorry. That's bad.
That was a bad fall. I watched that. That looked like it hurt.
Well, you know, Benny, now you won't be able to vote for him for next year because he won't be wrestling this year.
Yeah.
That's right.
When I went off on Darren Young, it was not meant for this. I'm just putting this out there. I don't know if they've worked their contracts out yet, but maybe Matt Hardy?
I think that they're still under contract.
They resigned
or something.
Okay, because I heard a lot of talk about that too, but again, it's just talk. Sean and I talked about this earlier this week. Let's say like a Mojo or lower tier superstar, SmackDown or Raw, their music hits, they don't come out, goes backstage, they're knocked out, and all of a sudden Seth Rollins' music hits, and that's how they get him in the Rumble. If they did that, I would be fine with it because it would be a good way to get him in.
I agree. However, I think it has to be a heel that he does that to, like a lower level heel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It would make sense if he nailed like a Mojo or something. Like, they wouldn't do that to The Miz, you think, would they?
No.
Maybe they do it to if you have one of the Shining Stars as a surprise entrant.
They'll have like Bo Dallas's music hit or something. And, like...
Is he even still employed with the company?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Oh my God, I haven't seen him on TV in like well over a month.
Yeah. So like, as far as low-level heels go, who would we say would, if Seth Rollins does do this, what's low-level heel would Seth take out to go to the ring?
I think a Shining Star could be an option. Although, I think they did set precedent now that if you attack someone on the entry ramp, you can't actually enter as their number.
Okay.
This would be like another backstage.
Because that's kind of what happened to Curtis Axel. Remember Axelmania? He never got eliminated because he got attacked on the way out.
Oh, yeah, and he was still in the Royal Rumble for like 4 months.
Yeah, because Eric Rowan, he attacked him, and he wasn't officially entered into the match, so.
Right, okay.
There's a guy that might be a surprise entrant. Eric Rowan.
Oh, what a surprise.
Whoa.
What about this? I don't know if he's medically cleared yet. I'm not going to say Kurt Angle again. Finn Balor.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
If he does a Superman recovery.
Some fan tweeted him and asked what are the odds of us seeing you in the Royal Rumble? And Finn Balor replied, the odds are 30-1. I was clever.
I could see someone like him just being in San Antonio just to be there, and like people are going to be like, oh my God, he's in the match, and then he just doesn't show up. I could see that, like just people speculating.
Get more eyes on the prize.
Yeah. But I think we should probably go to our prediction.
Yeah, enough of the speculation. We'll just have to wait and see on Sunday. But okay, so prediction time. I will go first. Sean, I will save you for last. I believe the winner of the Royal Rumble is Chris Jericho. And that's because, number one, it's about time he won it. He's been in the company forever. I don't believe he's never won the Royal Rumble. Am I correct?
No, he's never won.
No, he's never won the Royal Rumble. He's never won the Money in the Bank match. He's got to win something. And I think this is the opportunity to give it to him. His character work has been phenomenal. Plus I think it would, if he wins, goes on to WrestleMania to face Kevin Owens for Universal Championship. That's the match that's going to really help get some esteem behind that title. That's a very good story. And that's what you need to get that title over. You need a story to it, but I think that's a good idea. Jobo.
I have a normal prediction and then like a complete, like
crazy prediction.
Oh boy.
Okay.
That I can't explain except I have a bad feeling about this. But I do have a good feeling about Jericho. I don't think it's going to be Brock, Taker, or Goldberg. I think they're more attractions. Or they're there, you know, like they're their big things. I don't think Goldberg and Lesnar, I think the reason they're going to be in the match, that's going to lead to something down the road with them. I don't think it's going to be Taker. I think Jericho has a good chance. But in terms of my crazy, I don't know, I can't explain this thing, Baron Corbin. I just have a feeling. I don't know what it is. I have a weird feeling that his gemstone chest might make it.
But I feel like he's, and they kind of set it up on SmackDown, I feel like he's being groomed for an Intercontinental title feud with Dean Ambrose.
I don't know, because they keep having him all over the place. You know, one week he's in.
Yeah, because they're building him up, but that doesn't mean he's going to win the Rumble.
I don't know. I just have a weird feeling. Again, I can't explain it. So, I think Vince just likes him.
Oh, clearly. But Sean,
don't they normally do the Intercontinental ladder match at Mania?
It's been a thing that they've been doing. I don't know if they will, but, you know, they could.
I mean, they've built up a handful of SmackDown stars to do it. Miz, Ambrose, Corbin, Ziggler. Why not?
Yeah, you can do the match, you know. But, Joe, what's your official pick? Is it Jericho?
Jericho.
Okay.
Okay, so we have two for Jericho and a side one for Corbin. Steve, your prediction.
On Strowman, I'm staying by it.
You're staying by Strowman.
I'm staying by Strowman.
Luckily, yeah. Steve, Vegas does agree with you.
Yeah.
What?
Yep, he's odds on favorite.
That's because he's big.
But my fearful pick would be, I'd be afraid that they'd really want to drill this home about Goldberg getting a title shot. But then that just doesn't make sense because it's obvious they're building to Lesnar Goldberg 3 at Mania. But I just, man, I like seeing Goldberg come back, but then the whole Lesnar match really soured me on him. And then when he started talking about all this title talk, I was like, no, don't do that, please.
Yeah, you know, do you have a crazy out there pick?
If I had to pick a crazy out there pick that makes no logical sense, it would be Goldberg.
All right, if we're going to do crazy illogical picks or whatever, I think I'm going to go with Bray Wyatt as like a crazy, like, why would you do that? Even, I mean, it would be good for Bray, but it would come out of left freaking field.
What do you think, Sean?
If we're going, I'm not even going to say crazy because it's not a crazy pick, but a sleeper pick, I think, is Randy Orton. They've kind of been building a little bit with him because he keeps losing on TV. There's no guarantee that they're going to do the Bray match at Mania. I mean, they probably will, but, you know, if he is, let's say AJ retains and, you know, he is the next baby face up to face him, you know, I could see him winning the Rumble. But my official pick will be Brock Lesnar, because they're doing the February pay-per-view, or no, actually it's in March now, Fastlane, and Goldberg is going to wrestle on that show. And it feels like Goldberg is going to be wrestling for the title on that show. And if you're wrestling, it doesn't matter if it's Roman Reigns or Kevin Owens, it doesn't matter. I feel like Goldberg's going to win the title at Fastlane, which leads to Goldberg defending the title against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Oh, boy.
Because regardless of whether the title's on it, it's going to be the main event of WrestleMania. The only match that could go above that on WrestleMania is if they do Taker Cena, and I don't think they're doing Taker Cena. So the way that they're going to look at it is, it's we want to have the title as our main event, so we're going to put the title on to, you know, one of these guys, and that's going to be the main event.
I like, you know what? I like that.
Really? Because I don't. I do. That's just my prediction.
I know it's your prediction, but I kind of like that because Goldberg Lesnar is a match that would give that title some esteem to it. You know, these two fought over this title. And that's what it's all about. Is when you have a new title, which of course the Universal Championship is. There's not a lot of lineage behind it. What's the big match for it so far? The big match for it is Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins, which unfortunately has some not so good stink to it. with the injury. You know, your first champion of this belt, while he is fantastic, only held it for 24 hours. Less than that.
But I really don't. I don't think that the feud between Brock and Goldberg needs a title, but I feel like they're probably gonna put the title on them just because if that's what they're going on with last, which I assume that's what they're gonna go on last with, they're gonna want the title on there. So, but then you run into an issue because I don't know if Brock is wrestling on the Fastlane show, but then it becomes, well, one of these guys has to go on from WrestleMania with the title, and they're both part-time guys. So they're going to run into an issue with this, but I still think that's what they're going to do.
I have seen that Brock has cranked his dates up. He's doing a lot of house shows. He's doing a lot of he's going to make some Raw appearances. You know, so that would make sense. However, post-Mania, you're right. That is a little bit of an obstacle, but I think WWE would take a more of a we'll cross that bridge when it comes approach, especially to a match like that. I don't know, because part of me would like to see that title get the proper story to it, which Jericho Owens is. Same time, could you pass up a Lesnar-Goldberg for the title?
Sure you could. The problem is that, like I said, once they put the U.S. title onto Chris Jericho, that really killed things because then now we have this other thing that we can feud over. And that kind of was a signal to me, at least, because I agree, Jericho should win. Out of all these guys that are in this Rumble match, I think Jericho should be the one that wins. I don't think that's what's going to happen, though.
It's unfortunate and it's frustrating. Plus, I mean, think about this. If Jericho wins, he's the U.S. champion winning the Royal Rumble. A belt becomes a little more important after...
Not really. Nah. Not really, because then he's not defending the U.S. title. He's going up for the Universal title.
True.
That's like saying Roman Reigns made the belt more special because he was facing Kevin Owens for the Universal title.
I do want to make a quick point, though. And we were talking about these part-timers. The other day, I was at work, and I mentioned in passing, I was talking to one of my work friends, work associates, and I mentioned, oh, the Royal Rumble's coming up this Sunday. They go, oh, who's in it? And I said, well, you have Undertaker, Goldberg, Brock Lesnar. And they immediately said, not, oh, wow, they're in it. They said, oh, wow, they're still wrestling.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. It's an issue.
Those are the same people who go, oh, they're still wrestling. I know those names. I'll watch the show.
True, and you're right, but it's a potential problem if, you know, the first reaction of people is, oh, they're wrestling. They have to be ancient.
Yeah,
like that was the second thing. Like how they said, how old's the Undertaker? And I said, he's into his 50s. And they said, how old's Goldberg? And I said, he's 49, 50. You know, they're getting up there. You know, they're still, you know, thankfully in good enough physical condition.
Yeah.
They really were shocked when I said Kane still wrestles. They were really shocked by that. But it's an issue. But,
I know. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. It's a problem that's mounting. It's just something I noticed. But, okay. Well, that's pretty much the Royal Rumble podcast. Really quickly, I want to talk about some big things. Kurt Angle going to the Hall of Fame. Do we have any other Hall of Fame announcements?
Not yet. We're expecting to hear about DDP coming up, as well as Rick Rude. And I think they're talking about putting Beth Phoenix in for the women's side.
That's not a bad.
I heard a couple other rumors. I don't know if I believe them or not. I heard natural disasters. Who else? William Regal and Christian.
I think I would put Regal in at a different Rumble. I think there's still some more things that he has left to give before you just, you know, I want that to be a bigger moment than just.
I don't have a problem with any of these guys. Well, maybe the natural disasters, but, they're all fine names to me. I think they're all deserving.
Mm-hmm. It's solid Hall of Fame class. Ric Flair's getting a statue, I believe, too.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's the next statue.
But he's still alive.
Yeah.
Isn't that the thing? Like, you have to be dead to get one of those statues?
Wasn't Bruno? Bruno's a statue.
Oh,
he's still
yeah,
alive.
You're right. Well, never mind then.
Seth Rollins had a statue.
Not anymore.
Now it's gone.
You know who they should make a statue of?
Who?
Heidenreich.
Heidenreich statue. Yeah, it's Heidenreich and Michael Cole.
Oh, God.
It's out of that. They should make a statue for Ryback. Oh, my God. Yeah, we can get into Hall of Fame talk a little later, but...
Yeah, well, we actually know more names.
Yeah, we'll know more names. I also want to talk about, like, potential Hall of Famers. That's another podcast for down the road. But outside of that, World of Wrestling has been fairly quiet in terms of the abundance of stories. There's been a lot out there. We're not gonna touch on many of them because a lot of it's speculation. I believe TNA is no longer TNA, it's Impact.
Yeah, Anthem wants to change their name to Impact Wrestling, which I thought it already was, but whatever.
Who cares? From what I've starting to read about the new Anthem era of TNA, it's going right back to the same stuff Dixie Carter did. So
I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I will say that I would not be shocked if we find out in a few weeks that Vince Russo is back working for them. That's all. I just want to point that out there.
Okay. I won't go any further, but that's exactly what got them into this mess in the first place. So, good luck, Anthem. Good luck, Impact. Hardys will be seeing you over in the WWE in a couple of months, hopefully. But God, that's terrible. But anyway, all right. Any final words?
Yes, I have a few stats to give out.
Stats. Sean has stats.
I'm not going to let you forget this one.
I'm with Sean.
All right. We all know the Royal Rumble. Some of the more well-known stats that, you know, they show the package every year. Everyone knows, you know, Rey Mysterio lasted the longest, Santino the shortest. But there's a few stats that they don't really talk about, and not for any wrong reason, but there's just a few things that they, you know, don't really mention all that often. And I'm here because I'm the expert when it comes to Royal Rumble stats. And I want to give you a few stats that maybe you may not have known about. We'll make this a little fun. I'll have you guys guess some of these. Okay. Let's start off with everyone knows a big deal is when you're in the Royal Rumble to make the final four. That's like a almost like not a way to push someone, but if you want to give someone a little bit of a rub, they end up in the final four in the Royal Rumble match. Some people have been in the final four more than others. And, there is one person who's been in the final four the most times. Would you like to take a guess at who that person is?
Triple H.
What do you guys say?
Shawn Michaels.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Please. Oh, I was going to, oh God, thinking back now, maybe him.
No, unfortunately, you're all incorrect. The person with the most Final Four appearances is Kane.
Ooh.
Wow.
Who has done it 6 times.
Jesus. Just for poops and giggles, where was Triple H?
Triple H actually is tied with Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold, Batista, and Randy Orton with 5.
Damn.
Yeah, apparently that's a weird thing is that with Orton, when I was researching, Orton has been in the final four like almost every year since like 2009. Like it seems like every year he's in the final four just for the last couple of years.
Sean,
yes,
answer me this. Can you name the star or stars who have not been in the final four?
Well, Goldust has never been in a Final Four.
I mean, all of them, Sean.
Oh, well, okay, everyone. That's, there you go.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'd say. That's easy.
Coco Beware has never been in the Final Four.
Oddly enough, I think if you were talking the worst Final Four participant, it could be either
Santino Marella.
Yeah, at least they did something with him, I guess, at that point, but, Fatu, who turned into Rikishi, was in the Final Four 1 year. And the one Billy Gunn back in 2001 was in the Final Four for some reason. I don't know why, but to me, those are the two big ones that people forget about. Speaking of Rumble appearances, who do you think has the most appearances in the Rumble of all time?
I'll stick with Triple H.
I'm gonna go Cena.
Undertaker.
That's interesting. I just gave you Kane having the most Final Four appearances. You'd think he would have the most appearances total, which he does. Kane's been in 19 total Royal Rumbles.
Good lord.
Two of them not as Kane. He was in one as Isaac Yankum, and then he was also one as Fake Diesel.
I remember Fake Diesel.
And just to put into perspective how big of a number that is, the next closest guy is Shawn Michaels with 12.
Oh,
what
God.
The hell?
Yeah. No, he's not getting any closer anytime soon.
No, he is not. Here's a everyone knows that, you know, and they've kind of made it a stat now for the Rumble packages. All time most eliminations by someone.
That's Kane.
Everyone knows Kane. It's Kane, but can you tell me how many he has?
Is it 43?
It's like 40 something.
I think it's.
I thought it was less than that, but I can't give a number.
It's 44. Technically it's 44 because he had one elimination when he was Isaac Yankum, which makes it 44. Otherwise it'd be 43, but.
Do they use that the 44 in the packages? Or?
No, I think they use 43. But come on, we all know the real answer to this.
Wait, he didn't eliminate anyone who was Fake Diesel?
No, he didn't. the next closest is Shawn Michaels, as we all know, with 39, and Stone Cold with 36. Here's an interesting stat.
Kane.
Who has the longest time in the Rumble in a losing effort? Because we all know Rey Mysterio lasted an hour and 2 minutes.
I think it might be Jericho?
What do you guys think?
Kurt Angle.
Really?
No clue, man.
I'll give you a hint. This person is currently on the main roster.
It's a Big Show?
No. The person with the longest time in a losing effort is Bob Backlund, who...
Get the hell out of here!
In 1993, lasted an hour and 1 minute and 10 seconds. The next closest is actually Triple H, who, in the same Rumble that Ray was in, people forget, he was number one. Ray was number two. He lasted an hour and 16 seconds. And, of course, Benny, you're going to love this. The third longest time in a losing effort is Roman Reigns last year at 59 minutes and 50 seconds.
Hey, you even wrestle half the time.
Yeah, I know.
How much? I want to see how much time he actually spent in the ring.
Oh, I don't know. But you know what? Even, like, for example, everyone says, oh, Shawn Michaels was number one. And people forget that was a shortened Rumble. Entries were only at 1 minute, and he was only in the ring for 30. So, you know, that's, I don't want to discredit it, but it's not as impressive as people want to say. To me, the most impressive is when Benoit was number one.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and watch the match, there's very few times you can catch him actually resting in that match. He goes for a solid hour and change.
Benoit, again, we've said it before, as a person, what he did is unforgivable, but as a wrestler, his cardio, his physical stature was amazing.
Here's another good one concerning time. Who has the longest combined time in the Rumble history? Meaning, take all their times from every appearance and add them together. Who has the most time?
I think it's Triple H.
I'm going to go Stone Cold.
I think Triple H, too.
You're right. It is Triple H.
Yeah.
In 9 appearances, he has a total of 3 hours, 59 minutes, and 37 seconds.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
However, second place currently is Chris Jericho, who has been in for a total of 3 hours, 55 minutes, and 59 seconds. So if Jericho makes it just a few minutes in this year's Rumble, he will have the record.
Well, how funny would it be if Jericho is out there? Like, he comes in at, like, maybe, like, 27. He's there for, like, a couple of minutes, gets a couple of eliminations. We get to number 30, and then you hear Triple H come out.
But see, that's the thing. It's like, no one knows this record, so I don't think WWE even knows this record, so they wouldn't play off of it. Here's an interesting one. Can you name the 3 people who have been eliminated by women in the Royal Rumble?
I know Kali's one of them.
Kali was eliminated by Beth Phoenix. I saw that because I watched the clip recently.
Who did China eliminate?
Kali, Cole, and...
God, who did China eliminate?
Who eliminated Cole? Was it Karma?
No, yeah, it was Karma.
I don't think she eliminated him, though. I might be wrong.
I will stay silent until you give an answer.
Oh, my God. Who did China eliminate? This is killing me.
Well, if you don't come up with the answer, I'm going to tell you.
I give up, Sean.
All right. China eliminated Mark Henry.
God, yeah.
As you mentioned, Beth Phoenix eliminated the Great Khali. Michael Cole was not eliminated by Karma. He was eliminated by Booker T and Jerry Lawler. Karma actually eliminated Hunico in that match.
Who?
Hunico.
Hunico, he's one of the Shining Stars.
No, no, he's not. Stop spreading lies.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's the guy playing Sin Cara now. Here's an interesting one. Who has gotten number 30 the most times?
If I was Sin Cara and I got eliminated by a woman, I would definitely be rather aggressive.
Who is it? I want to say Taker for some reason. Either Cena or Taker.
No, I think, entered at 30?
Yeah.
I think Cena did it once. I want to say Triple H. I feel like he always has a lot of, like, crazy Rumble stats.
Jeez, Ben, you're really playing the game tonight.
Well, I mean, literally, Triple H has, like, some insane Rumble statistics.
Well, I'm not going to wait because I believe Triple H has only been number 30 one time, but...
I think he's done it twice.
What was the other? When was the other time?
It was last year, and then wasn't when he returned from his quad.
No, he was 22. I remember. See, I know all the Rumble winners numbers, so we're not. No, actually, Steve was right. It's the Undertaker. He's had 3 number 30 entries back in 97, 2003, and 2007.
Taker and Triple H and Kane have like those crazy Rumble stats.
They've been around for a long time. So.
Yeah. And here is the biggest stat of all. Since 1993, when they first instituted the rule that the winner gets a title shot at WrestleMania, what percentage do you think of people who have won the Rumble have gone on to win the title?
It's not a lot. Like actually,
40%. How much?
Like 40%.
I'm going to say it's a little higher. I'm going to say it's like 60 to 70%.
I'll say 50.
I guess technically Steve is closest. 53% of winners have gone on to face for the title. So, yeah, those are some lesser-known stats about the Royal Rumble.
Question to you, Sean. Who has been eliminated the most times?
Well, obviously Kane, if he's been in the most Rumbles, he's never won one.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that backed by, like, there's a stat for that?
It's common sense. Like, if he's been in the most times, he's never won once. That's mean he's been eliminated 19 times. Which part of that don't you understand?
I want to see, like, who's number 2 be or number 3.
Oh, I don't know. I guess Shawn Michaels has been eliminated, I guess, 10 times. I don't know.
That would take a lot of digging.
I like digging. We'll see if AJ gets dug or whatever buried on Sunday.
Well, the Undertaker's been digging a lot of holes.
Shut your damn mouth.
I knew where Jobo was going as soon as he opened his mouth. Sean, your buddy had a pretty lame line there.
He didn't write it.
Yeah, it's true. He didn't write it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, Undertaker was like, "Do I have to read this?"
Yes, we need to put it on a T-shirt.
He probably looked at it. And just
like, I have to put it on a T-shirt. I have to put it on a WWE shovel.
They did put it on a T-shirt.
Oh no.
That's a shame. He deserves better. They all deserve it. WWE wrestlers, you deserve better. Especially you, Darren Young.
Stop especially pretending.
Especially Freddie Prinze Jr. when he tried to watch Richard Pryor and Vince McMahon told him to watch WWE Network.
especially the worst thing ever. Oh, God. Well, I guess that's been just about it. I don't know if we have any more things we want to talk about. Super Bowl? We want to talk about the Super Bowl?
Is that happening at WrestleMania?
No, it's not. With that, we're not going to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about the Super Bowl because the stupid Patriots won.
Oh, sore subject. See what you did?
I'm sorry for opening up wounds.
I get bitter and annoyed if we talk about that.
I had to be frustrated. Well, at least your team made it to the playoffs.
No, they played like a high school team in that last game. I won't talk about it.
Maybe stop playing zone defense and maybe start blitzing the quarterback. Let's just keep moving on with the show.
Or maybe your player should stop videotaping the locker room speeches.
All right.
That's not what made them lose the game.
No, it's not. But anyway.
I'll get James Harrison to come to your house.
His workout videos are insane.
That's why you should be afraid.
He's not a weak being.
Amazing.
If he came in the Rumble, he would do good.
That would be. Oh, I forgot to mention, like, Shaq could be a surprise entrant.
Possibly.
Be interesting.
Oh man, I didn't even think about that. Holy Christ!
Like, that would be cool. That would be cool if like James Harrison came out just randomly. Did you just see the Pittsburgh Steelers logo and he comes out and he spears James Ellsworth?
Yeah, but no one would know who he is.
Yeah, everyone, like the six Steelers fans in attendance would be like, "Oh yeah,
oh my God, it's James Harrison." What was Shaq's entry music?
He would come out to the entry song from Shazam or Kazam.
Because I am Kazam. Ooh man.
could you keep going?
He'd come out to
Green
the
Egg and Hammond.
He'd come out to the menu song for Shaq Fu.
That'd be cool. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, that has been our review, or preview, I should say, of the WWE Royal Rumble.
Yeah, what'd you guys think of the Rumble?
Yeah, wow, was it the same? We missed it? Damn. Yeah.
We should do a preview one time where we're just fake reviewing a pay-per-view that we don't want to watch.
We should just preview our own review.
Preview a review of a preview.
Actually, God, make more sense. It's gonna get diluted, and then people are gonna try to come after us.
This is Podception. We're going into Podcastception. We're doing a podcast inside of a podcast.
We need to go deeper, Leo.
We need to go deeper, Leo. Well, with that does it for all of us here at Blah Blah Wrestling. We'll be back with you next week when we do a review of the Royal Rumble. But for now, enjoy a great wrestling weekend. Takeover Rumble. It's fantastic. Will he win?
No, Steve, we need the opening. You can't just lead in the middle of the song.
That's right.
Will he win on Sunday? Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, God.